Well, we could turn for our first reading in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and at verse 41. And after our reading in Luke, we'll read some verses in Ephesians. And we're looking later at the fifth commandment, the command to honour our father and mother, and both these readings are relevant to that. So Luke chapter 2 at verse 41, let us hear the living word of the living God. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And if we turn to Ephesians 6, where we'll read the first four verses. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, this evening we come to the fifth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Well, God gave the world two great blessings in the Garden of Eden. He gifted to the world a day of rest and worship. Genesis 2 verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And he also gave the institution of the family. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, so God created man in his own image, male and female. He created them and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth. And these two creational blessings of Sabbath and family are the hinge around which the Ten Commandments turn. The fourth commandment, as we saw last time, reinforces the permanent blessing of the Sabbath day. And then following from that, the fifth commandment speaks to us of the other creational gift, the gift of family. Creation is at the center of the ten words and helps us bridge the divide between the two tables of the law. And you'll likely know what I'm referring to when I speak of this division of the law into two tables. Exodus 31:18 tells us that God gave the Ten Commandments on two tablets of covenant law, tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. And these two different tablets of stone represent the two great branches, the two great divisions of the 10 words. A division that Jesus outlined in Matthew when he summarized the law as, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then secondly, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Our duty to God, that we should lovingly worship him in purity, that is the summary of the first 4 commandments, the first table of the law. But then the second table turns to our duty to one another, calling us to deal with one another in loving integrity. And it's to the second table that we turn this evening, this call to love our fellow man. And looking at the 5th commandment, we'll see just 2 things. We'll see first a commandment, honor your father and your mother, and almost all of our time will be spent there. And then we'll see second, a reason or a promise that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So firstly this evening, a command, honor your father and your mother. Now there's a reason that the second table of the law begins with the family. The family is the foundation of society. Where there's a breakdown in family life, the nation suffers. And we live in days of calamitous family breakdown. Divorce, the decline in marriage in the first place. Promiscuity, the utter lack of discipline of children. Spoiling children to the very core of their being. All this is going on every day, tearing at the fabric of our society. And we shouldn't be surprised by this, because Paul warned the church in 2 Timothy 3. Understand this, he said, in the last days, the days we are living in, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents. Paul says, amongst the things that will characterize this age is disobedience to parents, disruption to family life. Or again, Paul in Romans 1 says that God gave them, the Gentiles, up to a debased mind. And what are the characteristics of a debased mind? They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. And so not only is disobedience to parents to be expected, Paul also tells us that it is the fruit of a debased mind. And we have to be realistic that that is the state of Britain today. We live in a society that has turned its back on the 10 commandments, and that God has given over to a debased mind. And as such, it is a society in which the fabric of family life is falling apart. And that is so very tragic. But it also gives a wonderful opportunity for Christians to live in a way that is different, to be salt and light, to show in our lives a different way. Because if we live out the teaching that there is in the 5th commandment, that should be a great avenue for gospel witness and sparking conversations. As people ask, why do you live in the way that you do? Well, given this collapse in society, how do we set family life on a footing that will be a witness to the world? And I'd like us to see how we can witness to the world by looking at 3 different aspects of this commandment. How it applies to children, how it applies to adults, and how it applies to society generally. First then, this commandment and children. And the first and obvious thing to note from this commandment is that God's word speaks to children as part of the covenant community. All the commandments speak to children, but this one explicitly does. They, children, are to honour their parents. And this shows that God includes children in his covenant community. How do the Ten Commandments begin? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And within this redeemed people are children. Covenant children. And as they are within the covenant, these children are to honour their parents. And this, it needs to be said, is no Old Testament peculiarity. This is as true of the church today as it was in the days of Moses. To deny that children are part of the covenant church community is to go against the explicit teaching of Scripture. Ephesians and Colossians, just two examples. We'll only look at Ephesians now. Ephesians is written, Ephesians 1:1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And who, you ask, are these saints? Who are these faithful in Christ Jesus? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:22 that they are wives. He tells us in Ephesians 5:25 that they are husbands. And then he goes on, as we read earlier in Ephesians 6, to say that the saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus, include children, because he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Children, as part of the family unit, are baked into the fabric of the church of Jesus Christ. They are among the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Just as the redeemed in Exodus included families, so the New Testament church in Ephesus includes families. The very air the New Testament breathes is the same covenantal air that the Old Testament breathes. And I say this because it's important to realize that this commandment speaks to children, and still speaks to children as those who are in covenant community. And we'll see why that's important in a minute. But just note, first of all, what does this commandment say to those in covenant community? It says, Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. For children, covenant children, to live out this commandment simply means that they have to obey. They have to do what their parents ask them, being subject to their authority. Parents, humanly speaking, bring children into the world. They provide for them. They care for them. They look after them in every way. And because of this, children simply need to obey their parents. And Paul says this should be self-evident. Children, obey your parents. Why? Because this is right. It's just obvious according to the light of nature. Children should simply obey. And again, in the mess of today's society, we don't even see that as natural anymore. Children dictate what they want. They're allowed to and encouraged to rule the roost, to make decisions they have no capacity to make. And against the spirit of the age today, we just have to say to covenant children, obey your parents for no other reason than this is right. But Paul goes on to, in Ephesians, give a second reason for children to obey their parents. Not simply because it's naturally right, but because as covenant children, they owe this as their response to their God. That's why Paul quotes in Ephesians the fifth commandment, a commandment given to redeemed children. Obedience for our children isn't simply a natural duty, it's a spiritual act towards a covenant God, a God who has taken them out of the house of bondage. And that's why Paul speaks as he does if we read Ephesians 6:1 carefully. Children, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. And you know, we often read this, and to a degree it's right, as limiting the authority of parents. We are to obey our parents only insofar as they are telling us to do what is right and in accordance with God's commandments. But that isn't at all Paul's primary concern when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Paul instead is saying this, children, you are in the Lord, therefore obey your parents. And to show this isn't some strange, wacky Scottish Presbyterian reading of Ephesians 6, allow me to quote the unimpeachable Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Commenting on Ephesians 6:1, Lloyd-Jones says, this phrase means, children, obey in the Lord your parents. The apostle is repeating the very thing he said to husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That is what in the Lord means. We are to obey our parents because it is part of our obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So covenant children, obey your parents because it's right. But more than that, because it's your spiritual duty towards your God. Now notice that this commandment refers to parents. It says, honor your father and your mother. In contrast to other cultures, Christianity in this commandment elevates the role of the mother. As far as the fifth commandment goes, there's no distinction. Both father and mother are to be obeyed. Indeed, interestingly, Leviticus 19:3 puts the mother first. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Now, we aren't to do away with the special responsibility that fathers have. You know, we sang Psalm 78. He commanded our fathers to teach their children. But we should never minimize the authority and the teaching role that mothers have in the home. Think of Proverbs 31, that famous chapter. How does it begin? The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Mothers, just as fathers, are to teach their children and to be obeyed by them. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Mothers, as much as fathers, are to have their teaching and discipline respected. So that is children. Children witness to the world by obeying their parents because it's right and because it's their spiritual duty as covenant children to the Lord their God. But then adults, how does this commandment apply to adults? Once we reach the age of maturity and become independent, responsible adults ourselves, how does this command apply? Now clearly, we are not simply to continue obeying our parents, doing what they command us. That would be to overturn Genesis chapter 2, that we leave our father and our mother. So what then? Is this commandment just not relevant to most of us? Once we get to the age of 18, we go down to 9 commandments rather than the 10. Well, of course, not at all. This commandment remains relevant for us all our days. And the way to see that is to pay careful attention to the wording of the commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother. not obey. Obey is how Paul applies this commandment to children. But throughout all our lives, honor, honor. And this attitude of honoring, being respectful, acknowledging the weight, the wisdom of the years of experience that our parents have is to continue all our lives. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Age, growing up, never gives us an excuse to despise, to fail to honor our parents. And we see Jesus himself showing how this commandment continues to apply to us throughout our lives. Matthew 15, the Pharisees approach Jesus. They accuse his disciples of failing to honor the traditions of the elders. But Jesus turns back to them and reminds them of the fifth commandment. He says, God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And then Jesus went on in Matthew 15, speaking to these Pharisees, showing how they, by their own traditions, violated the fifth commandment because they were failing to financially support their parents when they had become old. But you, that is the Pharisees, say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. The Pharisees said that if they pretended to give their money to God, they could use it for whatever they wanted and not support their parents when they needed it in their old age. But Jesus brings this commandment home to them and simply says, you are failing to live out the fifth commandment. You are dishonoring your parents by failing to care for them when they are old. You are failing to heed Leviticus 19. You shall stand up before the grey head and honour the face of an old man. So all our lives, we are to honour our parents and support them as we should. Now, of course, this is challenging. This is difficult. You know, how do you move from obedience to honouring? How do you move from a place of doing what you are told to making your own decisions, decisions which might even be opposed to what your parents want for you? Well, there's no magic for this. It's just not easy. And life goes through various stages before we get to ultimate financial independence. But the guiding ruling principle is that as we move from simple obedience to honoring, that we never, never fail to speak well of our parents, to seek their wisdom, to show them love, to care for them, especially as they get older and experience loneliness and physical and mental decay. We are to move from obedience to honor, and we are to do it carefully. Neither is it easy to apply this commandment when our parents don't believe, or when we have Christian parents who haven't done well. Christian parents who have provoked their children to anger. How do we honour our parents in these circumstances? Is there a get-out clause because our parents are difficult? Exodus 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment. Honour your father and your mother, no exceptions. It will be hard. It will require sacrifice. It will require wisdom and grace. But the commandment remains as it is, whether our parents are worthy or not. We are still to love and honor even those parents who have sinned away any right to love and honor, because our Father in heaven loves us who have sinned away any right to his love. But what if the situation gets even harder? If parents have closed the door on us, making it impossible for us to honor them? And that may be the case. Well, in hard situations like that, we leave the door open for healing. But in the meantime, when we can't honor our earthly parents, we honor our Father in heaven. And we bless His name, that we can say with Psalm 27, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." So that's children, that's adults. Now, how does this commandment apply to society? Well, how many of you know Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 64? It asks what is required in the fifth commandment. And I'm sure we would all expect the answer to include the word father, mother, parent. It doesn't. Let me read to you how the Westminster Shorter Catechism explains the duties of the fifth commandment. The fifth command requires that we preserve the honor and perform the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. So according to the Shorter Catechism, this commandment speaks to all of society, not just the relationship between parents and children. It says this commandment means honor all authority wherever it is to be found. Is that right? Is that the meaning of the fifth commandment? Well, it wouldn't be me if I didn't say, yes, of course it is. And we know that the command is broader than just parents from the way Paul handles it in Ephesians 6. After quoting this commandment and saying, "Children, obey your parents," Paul goes on to talk about bondservants and he says, "Obey your masters, work properly for them in the light of the fifth commandment." And so we apply this command more broadly, not just in families, but in work, in society, in the church. In work, we're to respect our managers. We're to work faithfully for them as part of our service to Jesus Christ. In the state, we are to respect political authority. 1 Peter 2, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or governors as sent by God to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good." Paul said the same in Romans 13, "Be subject to the emperor." Now think of how evil the government, the rulers were in the apostles' days. And yet because of the fifth commandment, the rule for the church was fear God, honor the emperor. And in our deeply factionalized days, you know, we can be so different to the world if we live out the honor for authority that this commandment calls us to have. We might think a political party is an absolute disaster, but we should still speak respectfully about those God has placed in authority over us. And it's the same in the church. We should be respectful of authority in the church. Hebrews 13, "Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." Now, this honoring authority in all of society doesn't make us doormats to be walked over in work, in politics, or in the church. But it does say that when we are making our case, standing up for our views, that we need to do it with a spirit of honor and respect to anyone who has authority. And in showing this honor and respect, for example, in not complaining and undermining our boss at work, what a witness we are to the world. So that is the fifth command applied to children, to adults, and in wider society. Briefly, as we close, the reason or the promise alongside this commandment that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God gives his people an incentive to keep this commandment. Honoring authority obeying our parents is not an easy thing. And so we have this first commandment with a promise to encourage us in this hard duty. If we honour authority, the commandment says, our days will be long in the land that God is giving us. Now there's a sense this command is, in its promise, specific to Israel. They've just been delivered from Egypt. They're on their way to the promised land of Canaan. And if they are to inherit the land, to avoid being expelled from it, they must honour, God says, their parents. They must remember the Exodus and its meaning from generation to generation. But there's a richness in this phrase that applies to us. The Hebrew phrase, be long in the land, has rightly been explained as meaning experiencing the fullness of God's blessing. It means to have an abundant life. But as Proverbs 3 has it, my son, don't forget my teaching. For length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. There's a general blessing of peace attached to this commandment. If we are to know God's blessing, to know his peace in our hearts, to have this abundant life, we are to honour our father and mother. But as we think of that promise, no doubt there's this sad reality bubbling up in our hearts. We know in ourselves we can't earn a right to this promise. As children, as adults in our relations to society, we fail to obey the honour and give the honour that God has set to those in authority over us. We know that we cannot fulfil the commandment and claim the promise of ultimate attainment of heaven and a new earth and long life with God there forever. Our days will not be long in the land of heaven that God is giving his people on the basis of our keeping this command. And Jesus himself tells us this. You remember the incident of Jesus and the rich young ruler. A rich young man came to Jesus, Mark 10, and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And the young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth up. But Jesus knew better. And Jesus, looking at the rich young man, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the young man would not do this, showing that he failed to keep the fifth commandment because he dishonored the spiritual authority that there was in Jesus Christ. And we will all go away from the commandments disheartened and sorrowful if we look to them to earn heaven. But this is the glory of the gospel, that we don't look to our own commandment keeping to earn the promise of long life in the heavenly Canaan, because Jesus has kept this and every other commandment for us, that the promises of God might be ours in him. We read from Luke chapter 2, and Jesus went down with his parents, came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. Jesus perfectly honored his earthly parents. Even in his anguished death on the cross, he honored his mother, saying to John, behold your mother, and saying to his mother, behold John, your son, that she might be cared for and provided after his death. But even more than this, Jesus perfectly honored his heavenly Father. Luke 2:49, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus' whole life was one of unbroken obedience to his heavenly Father. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. Jesus lived out this command for us, honoring perfectly his earthly parents and his heavenly Father. And so we can rejoice this evening that though we have failed, Jesus Christ has perfectly kept this commandment for us. And so we are freed to honour our parents in the sure and certain knowledge that our days will be long in the heavenly land that the Lord our God is giving us. And what a privilege it is to honour all authority, knowing that that benediction of God is resting on us. Amen. May God bless to us his word.